Doc Talk is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.
Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. Today, we're going to have a show. We're going to talk about acidosis and bloat in feeder cattle. It's something that we see when we're starting calves on feed. It's something that we see in that springtime area. Something I have quite a bit of experience with. So stay tuned. Thanks for joining us today. More to come. Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson here at Iowa State University. Thanks for joining me. You know, I have a PhD in ruminant nutrition, and I also have a DVM, being a veterinarian. And being a veterinarian and a nutritionist, people all the time say, you must just drive up and down the road arguing with yourself. But it's the opposite. You learn how to solve problems. You learn how to look at disease processes through production and learn how to feed cattle that are sick and different things of that nature. But acidosis and bloat is one of those syndromes that is common in beef cattle when we're starting them on feed, moving from a forage-based diet to a concentrate or grain-based diet. And then when we get into the springtime where we have these high intakes and cattle are exposed to wind, but the three main causes of acidosis are rapid intake of a soluble carbohydrate, the cows get into the corn pile, an improper diet change, something that, you know, or diet mixing, something that went wrong with the diet, either we moved them from a 65% roughage-based diet to a 65 or 80% concentrate diet too soon, or environmental conditions. And a lot of times those environmental conditions are the reason that we see these. You know, we tend to think of, we feed animals as a pen. And so we see these nice smooth intake lines of these cattle going up on intake. But when we start to truly dig into individual animal behavior and individual animal intakes, when you look at a pen of cattle, and I've looked at a lot of these in research studies, individual animals go up and down and up and down, and they don't eat the same amount every day. And some days they eat more and more and more, and then they give back feed. And so it's really an individual, acidosis and bloat are really individual animal diseases that are managed at the pen level. But the whole pen doesn't get acidosis, or the whole pen doesn't get bloat. It is those one or two individuals, and it's why we tend to manage this on a pen level, because we feed on a pen level that we think that this is a pen level disease, and it really, really isn't. So what happens in acidosis? So in acidosis, what happens is, for some reason, whether it's environment, diet change, or animals just getting into a grain pile, we get this toxic load of grain, and so they overtrain, and then as they ingest that corn rapidly, you get a huge surge of volatile fatty acids, which are the waste products from the microbes in the rumen. And those volatile fatty acids are acids, propionate, acetate, butyrate. So when those increase, which means rumen fermentation is rapidly increasing, the pH of that rumen drops. And when that pH drops below 5.2, that's when we start to see the die-off of some of the bacteria. We'll see the protozoa die first, then we'll see some of the gram-negative bacteria die in that rumen. We'll have a decrease in rumen motility, meaning that you'll have a decrease in it moving, and we have a decrease in saliva production because the animals aren't eating, and saliva is a buffer. So then we have, if we don't take care of that, we get this increase in strep bovis bacteria, and as we see the increase in strep bovis, we start to see lactic acid build up in that rumen, which decreases the pH even more. From that point forward, what we will see is we will see the lactate go from the rumen into the blood, and we will see water, which water can act as a base or an acid. When we have that increased osmotic pull and that decreased pH going on in that rumen, water will get pulled from the bloodstream into the rumen, which will then set off a cascade of different clinical signs. And when we come back here on Doc Talk, we're going to go over those clinical signs of acidosis. Thanks for joining us.
DNA Dialogue is brought to you by Igenity Beef, powered by Neogen.
I think there are very, very few slam dunks in the beef industry, right? There's always trade-offs to technologies. But the one technology that I don't think that there's any trade-off to is utilizing crossbreeding and generating heterosis in your herd. So this hybrid vigor that's created when we breed two separate breeds to one another, it gives us more pounds at the end of the day, and it makes more productive females. So if we're not utilizing crossbreeding in our herd, we're leaving money on the table both in the calf crop. So we're not generating the maximum amount of weight in a calf crop that we optimally would if we're crossbreeding. And the replacement females, that's where we get the biggest advantages of crossbreeding. We're definitely leaving money on the table there by not having that additional hybrid vigor that comes from a maternally derived cross of two separate breeds, right? So at the end of the day, if we're not utilizing crossbreeding, we're leaving money on the table through the absence of hybrid vigor in our herds.
We know how expensive it is to keep and maintain heifers. What is also the fallout of those heifers if they're not the correct ones you're keeping and maintaining? We want to do as much as we can to get it right before we spend the money to impact our herd further down that road and keep successive females out of the wrong type of females.
Igenity Beef. Contact your Neogen territory manager to test today.
Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. We're talking about acidosis and bloat in feedlot cattle. So as we left, we talked about how we get the lactic acid starts to leave the rumen passively across the rumen wall into the bloodstream. Water is coming rushing into the rumen because we have that increase in acid load in the gut. And so the combination of that, increased acid in the blood, decreased water in the blood, increases metabolic acidosis. And that's when these animals start to act depressed and have CNS symptoms. But a lot of times the most common signs of acidosis will be an animal found dead in the pen or one that goes off feed. They get a gut ache, they go off feed, they then, after they've overtrained on grain. So those are some of the clinical signs. Sudden death in the pen, animals going off feed, depressed, and then the other two, increased respiratory rate, because as we have a decrease in pH in the blood and this metabolic acidosis going on in the blood from lactic acid going into the bloodstream, the animal has to breathe faster trying to blow off that CO2. And if you've ever eaten a big turkey dinner and then try to run, you'll see it's a lot harder and taxing on your metabolic system. The other two things that we'll see in acidotic calves is dehydration, because the water from the bloodstream has gone into the rumen, and then that water has to go somewhere. And so when we start to see diarrhea on calves as they're coming up on feed, or calves in the spring, we say they're painting their butts. If they have that diarrhea where it's on their tail head and it looks like a windshield wiper on their butt, or if we start to see diarrhea in the pens, we start to think about acidosis and things to that. So if we have subacute acidosis, there's two types of acidosis, subacute acidosis and acute acidosis. And with the subacute acidosis, the calves will just go off feed for a few days and they'll come right back on. We may have a little bit of decreased performance and we may see that some feed left in the bunk, but generally speaking, they respond quite well. Some of the things that can lead to acidosis or subacute acidosis, flightier cattle will have more of an issue with acidosis, because we're running around all day in the yard and those calves are on the back rail instead of coming to the bunk. And then when we go home at night, they come to the bunk and they binge. Some of the other things, diet concentration. As we have different levels of concentrate, or the more we process grain, the higher the risk there could be of acidosis occurring in those animals. When we have a subacute acidosis case, the big thing to do is just to put that animal on hay and good grass hay in the bunk and they'll get over. If we have an acute case where these animals are staggering, we need to get those animals in and we need to tube them with sodium bicarbonate. A box of baking soda in a 5-gallon bucket of water tubed into that animal is what we really recommend that you do right away if you think that animal is acutely affected with acidosis. These are some of the things that are going on with acidosis. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about bloat. And then in the fourth segment, we'll talk about some preventative tools that you can use. If you're watching Doc Talk, we're glad you joined us. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson here at Iowa State University, and just thankful for y'all watching the show. We have been able to get out. We've been able to cope with COVID. We didn't stop, and y'all didn't stop watching, so we appreciate it. Let's go into bloat. So one of the sequelae to acidosis is bloat. So we get this high grain load in the gut, into the rumen, which then knocks out some of the stretch sensors and knocks out some of the motility of the rumen. And if we don't have motility, then the animal can't eructate or burp, okay? And so then the gas just keeps building up, and we get bloat, and we have to relieve that animal. And there are basically two types of bloat. There are free gas bloat, and there is frothy bloat. Frothy bloat generally occurs on wheat pasture or when animals consume legumes. And the number one risk factor for frothy bloat on wheat pasture is fertilizer application, or too much fertilizer application, leading to a whole bunch of lush forages out there, and the cattle over consume and they get that frothy bloat. The way we treat frothy bloat is you use TheraBloat or mineral oil that you put into the rumen that breaks up that froth and that surfactant. But we have a three strikes and you're out rule on frothy bloat. And so if they do bloat up three times, that animal is basically the similar to a chronic respiratory disease, and it's going to be stunted and have decreased growth rates. It's the rest of its life. Free gas bloat is something we see more commonly on grain diets. And these animals will puff up, and we can score these bloats. So a zero is both sides are flat. A one is the left side. The rumen is on the left side of the animal. And so if you see a gentle distension on the left side, that's a grade one bloat. And we don't really get worried about that. They go up, they go down. Grade two bloat is severely distended on the left side, but flat on the right. And then a grade three is severely distended on the left and on the right side, and those are the ones that are in trouble. When we have bloat, what we want to do, and if you do have a grade three bloat, those animals are also impaired the rest of their life, performance-wise. If not treated, bloat will kill the animal, and bloat is considered an emergency situation. So when we see bloat, the one thing is if you can walk them up to the chute, pass a tube or gastric tube to the rumen, you can then get them to let off the gas, and they're deflated and they'll be fine. One thing you want to make sure is never let a bloated animal lie down. If an animal that is severely bloated lies down, they'll suffocate. And they'll suffocate so fast that by the time you walk through the pen back to the truck to get a knife to let them down, by the time you get back, they'll be gone. So bloated animals need to be kept up, and they need to be moved to the chute, or they need to be moved to an area, or they need to be an emergency deflation. And the way we'll do that is make sure if you're going to do that, you can either buy a bloat needle, as shown here, that comes with a scabbard and a sheath, or you can use a knife. And if you're going to use a knife, make sure you use a lock blade knife, because if it's not lock blade, you'll find out pretty quick why they make footballs out of cowhide. It's tough. And when you're going to go to puncture that animal in an emergency situation, you want to do it high on the left side, not on the right side of the animal, high on the left side, and then that will allow that bloat to deflate to an emergency situation. You can then take that animal to a salvage slaughter. When we come back, we're going to talk about some tools that are used to prevent acidosis and bloat. You're watching Doc Talk, and we're glad you joined us. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. Thanks for joining us today. I've had a great show talking about acidosis and bloat. And there are some tools out there that you can use to mitigate or prevent or control acidosis and bloat. And the first one that's been tried and true since the 80s has been an ionophore. And whether you're using Rumensin, Monensin, or Bovatec or something, you know, I believe about 90% of our market uses Monensin, or the trade name Rumensin. And Rumensin, what it will do is it modulates intake. And so we use it a lot on forage-based diets because it would help change the microbial population in the rumen to ones that produce more propionate rather than acetate. And when we produce more propionate, it's more efficiently used to convert grain and forage to energy in the body. And so we can have similar intakes, but improve gain, which gives us better improved feed efficiency when using Monensin. But one thing that Monensin is used for routinely in our feed yards is to modulate intake or to slow down acidosis and bloat by not allowing animals to overconsume. So whether you feed it at you know, 30 grams per ton, working with your nutritionist, different levels, work with your nutritionist to get that into your diet. I highly recommend it on finished rations. And again, 90% of the cattle are fed those. There's another product out called Lactopro. And Lactopro is a probiotic of a bacteria, anaerobic bacteria called Megaspira. And Megaspira is something that enjoys lactic acid and helps clean up that lactic acid environment. And it's a drench that you can use at the processing barn. You can use it when you work cows before you put them out on stocks, or if you're gonna work with cull cows. But we're seeing this used more and more. And some of the things that using Megaspheris will do in feedlot cattle, it can shorten the amount of time from going from your one ration to your finished ration, which improves feed efficiency. It helps prevent acidosis and bloat throughout the feeding period. And then some of the other applications that we've been seeing Megaspheris used in, or Lactopro used in feedlots, is when we go and we re-implant cattle, and maybe they hang around the processing barn too long, they get hungry when they go back. We drench them with the Megaspheris, so when they get there, they don't overconsume and have acidosis. But if they do that, the Megaspheris is in the rumen to help alleviate some of that issues with the lactic acid. The third one that the jury's still out on is using it with sick cattle, okay? The other thing that Lactopro has been used quite a bit over the years is if we're going to put cull cows or onto grain diets, or if we're going to kick them out on fields with standing corn or windblown corn. Any way you cut it, Rumensin in the feed, Lactopro drench to help with the Megaspheris to get into the rumen to help manage that lactic acid level in the rumen. Both two great tools that are being used today to prevent acidosis and bloat. Now, thanks for watching Doc Talk. If you want to know more about what we do, you can find us on the web at www.doctalktv.com. Remember to always work with your local veterinarian, and I'll see you down the road.
At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.